Welcome to What's Ailing the World. On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life, and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was put in the middle of the word belief, as when the psychopaths are able to lead the slave work units to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. This is not easy, as I discovered when I had to face the fact that the medical profession I had so proudly joined was totally corrupted to do the opposite of the Hippocratic oath taken to first do no harm. I left my career as a surgeon in the early 1990s after witnessing research fraud, experimentation on poor people, and euthanasia. After the brain damage of my only child born in 1996 from vaccines he received due to my belief in what I had been taught in medical school, I started researching what vaccines really do, which is corrupt the immune system, creating all autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets. I also started studying natural therapies to reverse the diseases caused by Big Pharma, as well as all the toxins we are exposed to. In 1997, I developed the Hippocrates Protocol to reverse all diseases, and in 1999, I created the diagrams on my websites, including the big picture of all diseases, which is the first diagram found on both of my sites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com and drcarly.com. I strongly suggest that you print out those diagrams and listen to the YouTube videos posted there where I explain the diagrams, which are based on pure common sense and have never been refuted, despite a $10,000 reward I posted on drcarly.com in 2006 for any white coat to refute them on the air. To this day, I have received no takers to this challenge. Thanks to the persecution I encountered due to my work, including the abduction and ongoing state-sanctioned torture of my son, I was forced to face the truth that all the problems we face are being caused intentionally, and the solutions that have been developed by people of conscience who step out of the boxes created when one becomes a licensed professional in any field are being suppressed. Facing the reality that the psychopaths which control our world have created a hell on earth intentionally is the critical step in bringing forth an anti-hell. Overstanding the simplicity of the master template of how this hell has been created makes the antidote equally simple. We don't need all the details. All that is necessary is for people of conscience to say no to their predators, to stop loving them, forgiving them, making excuses for them, and to stop funding our own destruction. It is my intention to give you the truth of what I and my guests have learned to arm you with the confidence to ask the hard questions, which will not only cause the predators to run away, but will also cause you to face the monsters destroying your lives. There is an army of people of conscience standing up. Our very survival is being threatened. It is time to stand up, speak up, and when necessary, shout. For silence is consent, and if you do not stand up, you are aiding and abetting your own destruction, thus acting as an accomplice to those murdering you and those you love. Speaking the truth and asking hard questions in great numbers is the road to anti-hell. Bypassing religious beliefs that only some man in the sky can save us is very important, as it's quite obvious that religion prevents logic, reasoning, formation of a plan to save ourselves, and then taking action. For only acting on the truth will set you free. Believing the lies or doing nothing will enslave you. Confronting evil with documented truth is all we need to do. Negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. And when evil's on the run, that's when we press harder. Whatever false beliefs you have about any subject, that is what is being used to control you. Overstanding the puppet masters allows us to see the master template of their crimes against humanity, as well as how they use PSYOPs operatives to divide and distract people of conscience. We can then cease being prey and destroy the predator bloodline psychopaths that have created a hell on earth. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. To learn how I do consults, click on the services tab on my reversingvaccineinducediseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows. So if you can reach me by my toll-free number, please do that instead. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. Yesterday, my show on the Orion Talk Radio Network, I did my third show on the zombie, which is actually a rabies-induced cannibalism situation going on, so you might want to listen to those three shows in the archives on thelightofdayradioshow.com. If you have any questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 785-336-5190 or Skype the producer of the show at PM Walk In Turtle. That's PM Walk In IN Turtle. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever's speaking. And usually I ask you to wait until the second hour of the show to call in, but our guest we were supposed to have today backed out at the last minute, Alexander Bachman. So, you know, rather than just have me talking for 2 hours straight, feel free to call in at any time if you have something you want to add to the show or ask a question. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone, and especially now while they're dropping live rabies vaccine viruses on us and mysteriously we're having all these cannibals happening, I strongly suggest that you purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. To learn how to obtain the silver generator, I recommend and use personally for myself and all of my pets. And let's see. When injustice becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. On today's show, I'm going to continue from the show we had last week, although the guest who said he would be on with me is not going to be on with me. He canceled at the last minute, as I said. So today's show, What's Ailing the World? Unending Evil Getting Worse Every Day, Part 2. And before I start talking about some of the questions that I had asked him, which he and others sent me some responses to, I just want to mention that today is Father's Day. And what is Father's Day to me? Father's Day is the day that my evil ex-husband violently sodomized my three-year-old son so violently that he was not able to walk or have a bowel movement for 2 weeks. I have not had any contact with him for over a decade. He is now in the custody of this monster, and so that's why Father's Day is not special for me. As a matter of fact, of all the Hallmark days, this is the worst one of all. And I'm sure none of you want to hear that. What could you possibly say? There's nothing you could say. But the bottom line is that this is not just happening to my son. This is happening to 800,000 children every year just in the United States alone. And why is this being allowed to happen? You see, that's what actually led me to inviting Alexander Bachman to be on the show last week. I was referred to him by someone else. And, you know, I've been trying to figure this out. I always admit I don't know everything. I am a very spiritual person. I know there's good and evil. I have confronted demons myself. I have seen a demon-infected person, and that was my ex-husband. And that was a moment where his eyes actually glowed like coals. And I don't know what happened for him to become a demonic individual, but his later, you know, actions proved as well that that is, in fact, what he is. So I have confronted this situation, and I've also had many miracles happen to me. I've had attempts on my life. I've had different things happen where I should not have survived, and I did. Although sometimes I wish I could have been, you know, sent away on vacation. Apparently that wasn't the plan, at least not yet. But the point is, you know, you ask yourself, why is this happening? You know, we're supposed to have this loving God, and he loves us, and we're supposed to worship him, but yet we live in hell. How does that work? And Alexander Bachman was the first one who actually had an answer to that question. And if you listened to the show last week, you heard him say that basically there was an anomaly. Okay, first, before I get into that, let me just read four questions that I always ask everybody. Because a lot of people, they'll call me for consults, and the first thing they ask me is if I'm a Christian. Well, obviously, I work for good, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing what I do. I wouldn't be suffering the consequences of speaking the truth. I wouldn't be making a fraction of what I made as a surgeon. So where does Christianity fit into all this? How many Christians out there are robbing and stealing and, you know, abusing children? The list is endless. But for some reason, that comes up all the time. And I often wondered, when you go into the hospital, do you ask the doctors there that are injecting you with drugs that are killing you if they're a Christian? I mean, what is it about me that they have to ask me this question? So I deal with this all the time. My answer as of the last couple of years has been I'm an anti-demon, because the Christians, I do not relate to them. But as I said, Alexander Bachman actually had an answer, and I had asked him four questions. And these come from a person by the name of Epicurus, who supposedly lived 341 to 271 B.C., and I say supposedly because, of course, you know, we have no proof of anything. Even in today's world, history is being rewritten and played with, and this info stuck in there. So you have to use discernment, your innate intelligence. As far as I'm concerned, that's where it's all, you know, about. But these four questions that are attributed to this Epicurus are excellent questions. And these are the questions. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he's not omnipotent, i.e. all-powerful. Is he able but not willing? Then he's malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? And these are four questions that I came across some time ago, and basically, that's what I ask people. And, you know, Alexander Bachman actually had an answer. And the answer was quite stunning, actually. Because, of course, if God is omnipotent and all-knowing, then certainly he should have known that this beautiful angel named Lucifer was going to, you know, turn into a rebellious demon-type, you know, being. And that he was going to cause a lot of problems. Because after all, if God is all-knowing, then how come he didn't know that? You know, that's like such an important question. And Alexander Bachman's answer was that there was an anomaly. Now, I tried, you know, my best not to laugh out loud when he said that. There was an anomaly. To me, that's like saying mistakes were made. You know, how often do we hear that? Oh, mistakes were made. There was an anomaly. Well, isn't that interesting that the anomaly that occurred where God apparently, you know, was sleeping on the job or, you know, was hoodwinked by his own creation, whatever you want to say, to create this beautiful angel that's going to become the creature that controls this hell on earth that we now live in, how did that work, you know? And why is it being allowed to continue? And then he came up with the answer that, well, yes, in fact, we do live in a hell on earth, and basically it's our punishment because all of us here helped Lucifer at some time in heaven. You know, we were all bad guys. So I don't know what happened to me. If I helped Lucifer in heaven, you know, how did I come here and become, like, you know, his worst enemy in terms of, you know, exposing what the medical psychopaths are doing? A lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense. But because I'm trying to figure out what's going on, you know, I gave him a forum to talk about these things. And I'm really curious, you know, how some of you think about all of this. And how do you deal with the fact that if God is a loving God, he's allowing my son to be satanically, ritually abused for 13 years now, 13 years today. Now, that's a very important number for the Masons. So I can only imagine what's going on today in Bayshore, Long Island with my son. And that is my gift. You see, that's my reward for losing everything, for standing up for the truth to try to help others. That's my reward here in hell. Is it any surprise that more people don't do what I'm doing? If your reward is absolute torture, no joy. I mean, except for, you know, going outside and playing frisbee with my critters, that's about it. You know, my life is hell. I'm not complaining to you because I made a commitment that I was going to do this no matter what it takes. That's my most important term, no matter what it takes. There's not many people that know what that means. There are many people, especially in regards to their children, that will sell out. If somebody tells them, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your children, I'm going to do whatever unless you do as I say. Unless you cross that line in the sand and do something psychopathic. There are many people who will do that. And that's a very scary thing. Because, of course, what people don't realize is that your children are already dead. They're going to kill your children already. They're doing it now. So why would you stop doing the right thing just because they put you on the spot and tell you they're going to make it a little bit more obvious? But that's the situation that we live in. So it's very difficult for me. I will never stop doing what I'm doing. Frankly, I'm waiting for them to come get me because I'm not going to a FEMA camp. And I consider my assassination as a, you know, chance to go on vacation. I have no fear. And frankly, I can't wait because it's just not happening. You know, as far as people waking up, it's not happening fast enough. It's not looking good. It looks like we're in big trouble. It looks like things are going to be going down the hill big time, especially in terms of this rabies cannibalism situation. I mean, if you want to picture hell on earth, just watch the movie Quarantine. So that's what we're dealing with. And as I said, you know, my question is, why is God allowing this to happen? And let me just mention, in regards to the zombie-slash-cannibalism thing, an individual that Alexander Bachman had referred me to, who supposedly worked at Area 51, but he's now a good guy, and wanted me to do an interview with him in person. Yeah, right. Okay, that's not going to happen. But he sent me an email that he was going to tell me everything he knows about the zombie Z5N1 virus. So I thought that was interesting. They've already got, you know, the virus named, although it's a cannibalism virus. And it's obviously rabies, and it's been tweaked with bird flu or, you know, this protein that's like LSD, whatever they've tweaked it with, can be a bunch of stuff. Doesn't matter. But, you know, this is what's going on. And I hope all of you are going to be gulping colloidal silver, so at least you won't have to watch, you know, your husband eat your child or dog or whatever, because there's nothing that colloidal silver does not kill, including rabies. As far as keeping the cannibals out of your house, especially if you have food and things, well, you're going to need to have some of those zombie bullets for that situation. So anyways, as I said, and as you can listen to on the archive of the show last week, Alexander Bachman states that there was an anomaly. God had, I guess, a senior moment. You know, when he created Lucifer, somehow he was in a fog, and he didn't realize that this monster was going to become the enemy of humanity and basically activate all of its psychopaths to torture, destroy, cause untold suffering on the face of the earth. So he just didn't know. So that's first of all. Let's see. Another question that came up during the show, which he was going to answer on today's show, was this whole idea of, you know, Christ being crucified on a Friday, and then he's resurrected on a Sunday, and they talk about the 3 days. And, of course, that's a simple math problem that just doesn't add up. It's not 3 days. And so he did send me a link, and it's really pretty amazing. It's focusonjerusalem.com/the-day-Jesus-died. And this is a 6-page document which explains this 3-day problem. And, you know, bottom line, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's just gobbledygook in my opinion. But it pretty much attributes it to the fact that the Jews had all kinds of Passovers, and that they had different, you know, ways to name the days. Bottom line is Friday starts on Thursday, okay? That's the answer to the question, the 3-day problem. Friday starts on Thursday. Well, that's interesting. How come they didn't just put that in the Bible? You see, there is some truth in the Bible, obviously, but there's so much crap, so much disinfo, so many things people have actually told me. Well, you're supposed to pray and ask God to give you the eyes to see when you're reading the Bible. So, in other words, if you read the Bible and it doesn't make sense to you, it's your fault because you didn't pray hard enough to have the eyes to see to understand what you were reading. You know, there's all these apologetics in motion. There's always an excuse. I consider myself a somewhat intelligent individual, and I read the whole Bible once, and I will never read it again because there's so much stuff in there that doesn't make sense, that basically goes against other stuff. And there are some people that I highly respect that have talked to me about things, and I know there's missing books from the Bible, and that these missing books help to explain other things. But the bottom line is, why are we being tortured and made to suffer by this loving God? You see, that's one thing that nobody can answer. And that's where I have a problem. I'm like an anti-suffering person. I am so against suffering. I can't even stand to see, you know, a critter in nature. I have one cat that's a mouser. And this cat will, you know, catch mice and bring them to me as like some kind of award. And it breaks my heart. I can't even stand to see that. Imagine having to get phone calls every day from people all over the world who are being tortured and maimed and suffering unendingly because of what the white coats, the medical devils, are doing to them. Every day I hear these stories, and it just makes me sick. And yet, the ones who are doing this continue to do it. I mean, they have free reign. There are no consequences. The only doctors that ever have a problem are the ones who stand up and talk, you know, about what's actually happening, you know, talking about vaccines and putting them in the camp of weapons of mass destruction, is serious enough to have your child taken away from you and tortured unendingly, and have no contact with his mother, to lose your license, to be labeled as delusional, having a conspiracy problem, to have attempts made on your life. That's okay with God. You see, God's watching. I guess he's watching for his amusement. You know, I often think of the Old Testament. All the, he likes to smell burning flesh. You know, all these blood sacrifices. When you actually think about it, okay, supposedly, you know, we're born with sin because Adam and Eve, you know, ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, which actually obviously means, you know, Eve had sex with the snake. They can't just come out and say that in the Bible. They got to use a fruit analogy, but whatever. So we were born into sin because of what happened eons and eons ago. You know, what about double jeopardy? You know, you can't be tried for the same crime twice, even here in hell. You know, basically, once they find you innocent, or if they find you guilty, they're not going to try you again and add more stuff on. Okay, so Adam and Eve were found guilty, they were punished, they were thrown out of Eden and, you know, wherever, you know, they were thrown. Kind of confusing. And, but that wasn't enough. All of their progeny had to be labeled as, you know, sinners. And, of course, you know, the Canaanites, the Edomites, the people of the serpent, the Jews, they're allowed to do all of their evil things and get away with it and pretty much control the world at this point. Whereas the other bloodline, the good bloodline, although, you know, I guess there is no really good bloodline because of Adam and Eve, you know, doing what they did, and that's pretty amazing. But anyways, I guess God didn't see that, or he didn't stop that, or, you know, why did he put the snake there to begin with? You know, it's like putting your child in a room. You've got a stove, a gas stove. You've got a loaded gun. You've got all kinds of stuff in there that, you know, a 2-3-year-old might try to get into. But you put them in there just to see what's going to happen. You know, that's how I look at this whole situation. Because, you know, it's just, if you care about a creature, you're not going to put it in harm's way. You're not going to allow it to be tortured and suffering. And forget that free will argument. I don't buy it. Okay, because apparently the only ones that truly have free will are the demonic monsters. The psychopaths can decide which children they're going to rape and sacrifice and eat and all the other stuff they're doing. Who they're going to rob, cheat, and steal from. Who they're going to throw out on the street and take their house. They can decide all those things. That's their free will. But the people that have a conscience, the victims, they don't have any free will to say in the matter. Because, in fact, if they dare to go to court and think they're going to get justice, well, isn't the joke going to be on them? So this is like my conundrum that I've had for a long time. And, you know, I want to believe that there is a loving God up there and that all this is going to happen for good. You can't imagine how many people have told me, oh, what happened to your son? God's going to work it for the good. Oh, really? Oh, really? This is all going to work out for good. Well, then why doesn't it happen to all the children? If this is a good thing, you know, Jesus wasn't raped. How come he didn't get to go through this good thing? You know I sound very disrespectful, but I'm just asking hard questions. May I be struck with lightning on the air if this is a terrible thing that I'm doing? Because I want to have an answer, and I'm just not getting it from people. So as I was saying before, God made the rules, okay? He's the one that decided, okay, in order to get rid of the sin of all of the people that were, you know, begotten, and the list is endless in the Old Testament, from the original, you know, humans, in order to get rid of their sin, we have to have another blood sacrifice. What is it with blood sacrifice? This is what the Satanists and the Luciferians do. Blood sacrifice. That's their whole thing. How come God likes to do that? How come God, you know, created, you know, the situation where Jesus, a.k.a. Yahweh, Yeshua, there was no J back in that time. So, you know, all this stuff is confusing. So many ways that Christians can get meshed in debates and all the while doing nothing about what's going on. But how come this being was allowed to be sacrificed, a blood sacrifice? How come? God could have said, you know what, you got to say 10 Hail Marys. He could have made anything up he wanted because he's God. How come it had to be nailed to the cross and then, you know, basically, you know, getting meshed in this whole three-day problem, you know, making more and more people just say, you know what, this does not make sense. You know, there's a lot of common sense that people need to get back. And if you're going to use common sense to figure out what's going on in the world, you should be able to use common sense when evaluating the spiritual things. Not that we can know everything. Obviously, we can't. Until we're dead, we won't know if there is a quote-unquote heaven. Won't the joke be on us if there isn't, okay? All those of us who have suffered, not that I'm suffering to go to heaven, I'm just doing the right thing because that's what I do. That's what I've always done. I've always been kind of a mutant that way my whole life since I was a child. And I never fit in with a lot of other people because of that. But it didn't matter because I just had this drive to do the right thing. So I'm not looking to go to heaven. And especially I've been told that, you know, asking the questions I ask, you know, is going to stop me from going to heaven. Well, if my actions don't get me a ticket there, you know, and just asking questions sends me someplace else, well then, you know, once again, I guess that's why more people aren't doing the right thing. Because obviously the demonic psychopaths, they got their get out of jail free card. All they have to do is ask for salvation. They can kill and maim and rob and steal and create the atomic bomb and the cannibal virus. They can do all those things. As long as on their deathbed they say, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done it. Jesus, you know, please save me, blah, 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 the salvation prayer. And everything's okie-dokie. And that's why, you know, I often think about it. I know Jeffrey Dahmer. I've seen specials on him on, you know, mainstream media. As a matter of fact, interestingly, you know, he was obviously a cannibal. And since this whole cannibal thing happened, they've actually played on the HLN network at least three times since that Miami situation happened. They've played the Jeffrey Dahmer story. You know, got to get that cannibalism thing back into the psyche again. But one of the interesting things about Jeffrey Dahmer and why he was at peace when they killed him in the prison that he was in is because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, his Lord and Savior. And so I'm thinking, great. So ergo, according to the rules, he's going to heaven. Who's going to be in heaven? Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, you know, you name the criminals, okay? Kissinger, when he goes. I can't wait till he goes. I don't know if he'll, you know, ask for forgiveness or not. Apparently he's enjoying doing what he's doing. But the point being is that, you know, how can this be? Is there no evil that you can commit that you can't buy your way out of with a prayer of salvation, you know, 1,000 Hail Marys, you know, a nice gift to the ministry, whatever the case may be? There should not be a way to buy your way, you know, into God's good graces, in my opinion. There should be some things that are so heinous that basically, you know, you're going to have a problem. But, of course, here in hell, the psychopaths run the show, And so, you know, especially as they do with the Masons, they've got a perfect situation. If you do the wrong thing and you're a Mason, your brother Masons must protect you. And so you can do whatever you want. Whatever you want. And this is why we're in the situation that we're in. So, as I said, these are the questions that I've been asking. And I do appreciate a lot of my loyal listeners who are Christians, who understand I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to question your beliefs. I'm just trying to have help figuring me out, or helping me figure out why so many people are doing nothing and waiting for this wonderful God who's allowing hell on earth to occur. And as Alexander Bachman said last week, and this was another thing I just couldn't even wrap my head around, that basically, you know, God wanted to deal with Lucifer, and Lucifer objected. And Lucifer said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't remember exactly what he said, but according to Alexander, Lucifer said, well, you know, your people, your creations, you know, they did these things. You know, I may have, like, basically, you know, twisted their arm, but they did these things. So you can't blame me. There's a problem with your creation. And so, according to Alexander, God gave Lucifer, during this appeal, 6,000 years to torment humanity. 6,000 years. Now, having gone through 7 courts in 7 years trying to save my only son, and being aware of all their procedures, which are totally corrupted, you know, they can have all the procedural law and all the case law and all the rest of it they want, but it's all garbage because of the corruption and fraud that occurs. But, you know, there's such a thing as filing a friend of the court motion. There's all kinds of things that could be done in terms of, you know, going against Lucifer's appeal. As a matter of fact, one of the things I wanted to ask Alexander on the show today is, who was representing the humans with a conscience? Apparently, we had no representation. It was Lucifer appealing to God. That's it. We had nobody up there arguing our case. Hey, you know, like I said, if you've got a child and you stick him in a room with a gun and a stove and all the rest of it, and something terrible happens, you can't blame them, because basically they were put in a position intentionally to get them to do the wrong thing. So, I won't have the answer to that question, who represented the humans up there when Lucifer was arguing his case. And so, you know, that's why we're going through this hell on earth, is because Lucifer was given 6,000 years. And when you complain about the timeline, you know, in terms of how long the suffering goes on, people's answers are always, well, you know, time is nothing to God. You know, a 1,000 years is like a blink of an eye. Oh, really? Well, isn't that special? Those of us down here suffering, you know, don't have the luxury to think of it in terms of blinking an eye. You know, too bad God can't come down here and see what we're going through. And then another thing came up. I have so many notes in front of me here. I'm hoping some of you will call in and comment. Somebody wrote me this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the other part to that, as far as I'm concerned, is the children who can't talk will be destroyed. Because, you know, my special concern is the children. The children, the children, the children. As I said, my son was 3 years old. 3 years old, people. When his father attacked him so violently he couldn't walk or go to the bathroom for 2 weeks. Imagine how that little boy felt when Judge Richard Lawrence said, go live with Daddy now. And there was nothing I could do. He begged me in my supervised visitations for about a year and a half after that to please save him. And what ended up happening? Why, the child predators claimed I was discussing the case and stopped all visitation with my son. So that was over a decade ago. I've had no contact with him. And nothing can be done to save him. Nothing can be done to help him. People will tell me all the time, oh, he's 16 now. You know, after he's 18, he can always contact you. And, you know, who knows? Things may work out. Well, you know, well, I'm not going to sit around and put, you know, belief in that. I've researched MK Ultra mind control, what they do to children during satanic ritual abuse. It's not like you turn 18 and you say, oh, okay, let me go find mom. See what's happening. That's not going to happen, and I know that's not going to happen. And who knows what my son is going to become. So this is what I live with every day, and I'm going into it now because this is my conundrum. As I said, I know there's a lot of people out there that have bad things happen to them, especially health-wise. They're foolish enough to go to the medical devils and have all kinds of things done to them. And they suffer, and they suffer. And what do they do, many of them? Christians, and especially Catholics, they offer their suffering up to God. Well, what is it with this God that loves suffering? You know, we know that the psychopaths are into this. There's actually a hormone called adrenochrome created, oxidized epinephrine. It's in my medical dictionary. Did not learn about it in medical school, but I found it in my medical dictionary one day, and I go, oh, this is the hormone of fear that you can't imagine, okay? Like, you know, the way they skin cows alive and, you know, all kinds of things that our agencies are allowing to have happen because these hormones of fear and rage, you know, are then ingested by others, be they, you know, people that eat meat that's sacrificed in this way or the demons, the cannibals that eat people, the Luciferians that do child sacrifice, all the rest of it. This is what's going on. And so this is what I'm trying to understand, this whole suffering thing. Why does God love suffering? I just can't wrap my head around it. It's just not making any sense. And, you know, so many people have tried to help me figure it out, but so far it's not working. And so I continue to ask the hard questions. And let me just mention also, a listener by the name of Paul sent me an email in regards to the three-day thing. And like I said, I do appreciate people trying to enlighten me. But unfortunately, you know, first of all, if it doesn't make sense, I'm not buying it. And second of all, you know, what is the purpose of writing the Bible? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's what it's supposed to be, right? But making it so contradictory, so hypocritical, so difficult to understand, leaving out certain books, writing some things in code so that you could spend your entire life studying it and still not figure it out. You know, that's why when I write documents, I try to write them as simply as I can. I don't use big words if I can avoid them. I explain everything in a way that people can understand it. Because if you want people to understand, you don't try to confuse them with all those techniques. You know, that's common sense to me. So anyways, this listener Paul did send me an email. Sally figured it out. In regards to Jesus rising on the third day, so he started a study, and this is what he came up with, that John 20:17, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Jesus saith unto her. Okay, I don't get anything from that, but this is what it says after that. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So apparently the three-day thing gets confused because when he arose from the dead, he was basically, he was the undead, you see. He's like, you know, not a zombie, but that's the whole principle behind zombies. So he was the undead. And until that miracle happened where he went from being the flesh undead to the ascended, resurrected being, that was involved in the three-day thing. So I'm just saying, that's one of the explanations I got. And I do appreciate people, you know, sending me this information, and but it's not really helping. Okay, let me just see. All right, this is another email that I received. This one actually was extremely interesting, and I'm just going to read it. It's called Truth Code. Jesus said they were whitewashed sepulchers, so the real person is unseen. For me, it is easiest to think in terms of a computer. We have machine code, in parentheses, God code, spirit code, hyperdimensional tensor, image of God, operating system code, in parentheses, applications, and firmware, in parentheses, soul programming, who you choose to be. So we can't judge a book by the cover. The name and one shoe does not fit all. So Eli James is correct. The primary operating system of the Cain bloodlines are designed to be tuned to satanic hive waves. Most have little to no God code. So Sally says it's in the code, stupid. And Sally was the one that, you know, figured out this whole ascension thing in the last email that I wrote. And a little leaven, the whole dough. So a little God code allows even Satan to be able to respond by free will to light equals Christ. Also, our choices turn on and off firmware, which is the soul programming, and thus activate dormant applications for further wisdom, like flashing the pram. I'm very computer illiterate, so some of these terms I don't get. I don't know what pram means, but anyways. But I found that interesting, that even Satan, you know, could respond by free will to light. And, you know, I've actually heard people say that, you know, Satan could be saved, you know, if he would accept Jesus as a savior. You know, I mean, in my experience, dealing with psychopaths, there is a problem with these monsters. They have no conscience. And they're all over the hospital. Compared to when I was in medical school and working as a surgeon in the early 90s, it is 1,000 times worse now. I mean, you can feel the evil when you walk in these buildings. And I'm sorry, but I feel very strongly, and from experience observing and talking to people that are being tormented on a regular basis, that once you cross certain lines in the sand, you sell your soul for cash, that's the way I put it, there is no coming back. It's not like you're going to make these people feel bad. Oh, you just killed your 1,000th patient with chemotherapy, doctor. How about you start learning about natural therapies? You know, it's not going to happen. So this whole idea that Satan is going to, you know, somehow get his free will activated to respond to light, just don't get it. Doesn't make sense, but let me continue. So add JK's kingdom divided with Jesus. I know my sheep, and you will know them by your fruit. You know, I really love being called a sheep because, you know, obviously we see what's happening with the sheeple. Anyways, free will intention fields open the wisdom code, the temple truths, problem solved. Of course, this applies to the two original bloodlines, 13 plus 13. Today we have chaos introduced, hybrids, clones, reptilian humanoids, and many other alterations, because God has allowed it. That's my addition there. But you know them by their fruit. Really, that's simple. The fake Jews are all the human bloodline leaders of Satan, as they are the most pure in the Cain lineage, but a few remnant in all peoples of all nations have God code and can choose Christ. Or if they don't know about Christ, they can just have a conscience and do the right thing. You know, I don't think that Christ really has anything to do with having a conscience. I think that that is something that apparently you're born with, even though, you know, Adam and Eve did what they did. Anyways, bottom line, it is not a flesh issue. It is a spirit code issue, and be careful to hate any visible group. Remember, Ishmael was also from Abraham, and Abraham was not a Jew. Don't know what that has to do with the price of tea in China. Satan has got the majority of the 13 God code bloodlines, Christians and Arabs, about to annihilate each other, and the only thing left will be the tares. Quite ingenious, I might say. Quite ingenious. I say this is pathetically evil. You know, it talks about in Revelations, rivers of blood. Rivers of blood. What is this going on? What's coming? Which so many Christians are just sitting back saying, oh, it's God's will. You know, this is what's going to happen. So let's go to the movies. Let's take a trip to Disneyland. Or you can wait. I mentioned on my show yesterday, they're actually building a new, like Disneyland type thing, to do with the Manhattan Project. The places that developed the atom bomb. One of our congressional representative traders has actually introduced legislation to have a nuclear Disneyland basically now. So that's just a little sidebar. But anyways, people will do nothing and say that this is basically, in Revelations, it's all predicted by God. This is what God wants. So therefore, they're not going to do anything because they don't want to stop what God wants. He wants to see rivers of blood. And on that note, I'm going to take a little break, play some music for you. Thank you, Board Ops. And please call in. Show me where I'm wrong. Somebody show me where I'm wrong, please, because it's getting really dark out here in hell. Okay, folks, it's Dr. Carly back with What's Ailing the World, Unending Evil, Getting Worse Every Day, Part 2. And I hope some of you will call in to basically banter with me and to add your information, whatever it may be. Also, we had talked about the Shroud of Turin last week on the show, and Alexander had stated that it's been proven that it's real, and, you know, that a blood sample could be taken and therefore cloned from the Shroud. And so a couple of people sent me some articles about how the Shroud of Turin has been proven to be a fake. And, of course, once again, you could spend the rest of your life researching and arguing with people about these various issues. What good does it do? The bottom line is we're living in hell. It's getting worse every day. Some really bad things are getting ready to happen. And I'm looking for people that want to stand up and say no. No, we're not going to tolerate this. We realize we may pay with our life, but we are not going to allow this evil to continue. As a matter of fact, I find it very interesting that President Obama has apparently leaked the fact that he's got a kill list. Well, maybe some of us should, start thinking about who do we need to see taken down, the ones who are allowing this evil to take place. Why can't we have a kill list of the psychopaths who are destroying everything, including the very earth on which we live? Okay, so let me just see. Okay, one of the things that I had actually thought about was, is God a Jewish person? Basically a psychopath. We have the two lines. We have the line that was created when Eve had sex with the serpent. That line gets to do whatever it wants. That line gets to rule the world. That line has no consequences for their actions. The other line is apparently the prey line. That's the line that is allowed to be killed, robbed, you know, have all kinds of atrocities committed to it while God watches. So which line does God actually favor? You know, one has to ask these questions, in my opinion. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, I don't want to be negative. People have told me, well, you're negative. No, I'm not negative. You know, I'm positive that if people got together and did something, everything would change in a heartbeat. I'm just trying to figure out why that's not happening. Why isn't that happening? Because, you know, it could happen if enough people would do the right thing. I'm just looking at a couple other things, notes that I took from the show. At the end of the show, Alexander has said that it is proved that our reward is heaven. I was going to ask him to share that proof. Like I said, wouldn't the joke be on all the people who believe they're going to heaven if there is no heaven? Because, like I said, apparently that's where Jeffrey Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy and other people of that ilk are going.
But Dr. Carly?
Yes.
I just wanted to add to that before we got too far away from that topic of the Garden of Eden thing.
Please do.
I have my own questions, and I think what we're dealing with here is the same old, same old. Take a little bit of truth, wrap it up in nice lies, and put a little touch of adventure and magic in it, and peddle it to the masses. You know, as far as the first book of the Bible goes, there's so much contradiction in there. If you have a God that is omnipotent, a God that is able to see all things, is intimate with all things, is the creator of all things. He knows good, he knows bad, he knows all of this, yet he creates a specific garden to put two of his creations in, who are supposed to be, quote, innocent, meaning that they had no consciousness of good or evil. Yet he puts them into a garden full of lushness and of life, vitality, and then he puts two trees in there that they're not supposed to have. And these two people who have no conception of right or wrong are told not to eat of the tree, okay, of those two trees. Now that in itself is absurd. And so every step you take beyond that is absurd. You know, them hiding from him because they knew they were naked, yet God, who is omnipotent, couldn't find them.
Well, and let me say, that's why I gave the example of putting a toddler in a room with a gas stove or a loaded gun or whatever. I totally agree with you. Yes. I agree.
And it's followed on down through the ages. In each book of the Bible, you will probably find an excerpt of truth wrapped around these wonderfully told lies. And in every other book there is, because I don't believe that religion in itself has anything to do with who and where we come from in that respect. It only has to do with who they want us to be and where they want us to go. It's just a manipulation technique, and it works very well. It's been proven throughout the ages. It works better than tyranny. You know, religion can cause people to create genocide and think at the same time that they're somehow exalted from judgment for murder, you know?
Because they're doing it for God, exactly. And the Catholic Church, of course, is a perfect example of that. And I'm so glad that you're saying these things, because that is pretty much the point at which I just don't get it. I don't get it. It makes absolutely no sense. And especially, you know, these parts of the Bible that say, you know, Jesus supposedly says as he's dying on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. They know exactly what they're doing. All of these psychopaths know exactly what they're doing. Why are we to forgive them for harming others and turn the other cheek? Yeah, right, okay, you cut this eye out, cut the other eye out. I mean, it makes no sense. If we're not to get rid of the source of suffering, and I use the example, if you've got a parasite in your GI tract and it's stealing all your nutrients and you're starving, are you supposed to forgive the parasite or are you supposed to get rid of it? Are you supposed to take black walnut extract and other things, homeopathic remedies that you can do to kill the bugger? Okay? I don't see any difference with the parasites on the face of the earth that have flesh, that are destroying everything. Why are we supposed to forgive them? Makes no sense.
Well, I think more so with me, though, is the fact that we are all capable of the most heinous of crimes, as well as the most beneficial of discoveries and creations. We start out that way. I don't believe in God per se that sits on a throne with a book. It's not something that I can sit well with, but I do know that there was a creator of this earth and this race and all other races that we experience. There was a creator of the universe. Something is at the apex of all life. What that is, I have no clue. It's the great mystery. But I'm willing to entertain the stories that have been written and passed down, which they have corrupted and turned into books of quote, God's words. You know, as far as I'm concerned, anyone who says that they can look at a Bible and say God said that is silly. Because where's your proof, like you said? And if we don't have proof, then all we have to go on is the truths that live in our hearts. And we all have that capacity.
Okay, I'm so glad you're saying these things. Let me comment, and then please you comment again, because I appreciate this input. First of all, you said we're all capable of good and evil, and that's obvious. And that's where the conscience comes in. If you have a conscience, you're not going to create evil. The one thing that I live my life by is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If everybody lived by that simple rule, imagine the world we would have. To me, that's the most important thing. I don't know exactly where it is, but to me, that's the basis on which I live my life. So,
exactly.
Yes, I could be evil. I could have saw what was going on in the hospitals. I could have said, yeah, okay, we're committing euthanasia now. That's our new project. Yeah, line them up. Yeah, sure. How much will I get paid for doing this? I could have done that, but I would never do that because I have a conscience. Because I lied in the hospital bed myself a number of times. I know what it's like to be put through what these monsters do. And I would not be part of it. So, yes, I mean, that's obvious that we're all capable. But, see, when a lot of people say that basically they're trying to get through, in my mind, the idea that we're all the same, that we could be good or we could be evil. And that's one part that I kind of disagree with because, in my opinion, if you have a conscience, that's how I divide the world up, people that have a conscience and people that don't. And if you have a conscience, you're not going to be evil. Whether you could do it, yeah, you could sell your soul for cash, but you wouldn't do it because you have a conscience. So that's first of all. The other thing I wanted to make very clear is that there's no question in my mind that there is some kind of divine, cosmic, spiritual intelligence. I don't know what it is. I don't believe it's a white guy sitting up in the sky someplace with a long beard. Okay, that's just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. But the idea, like the Darwinists would say, that, you know, there was this primordial soup and, you know, a few cells got together and then crawled out of the soup and became whatever. That's ridiculous. Okay, to me, that's absolutely ridiculous. So I know intuitively that there had to be some kind of divine intelligence behind what the earth became and, you know, as it's quickly being destroyed, what it was at one point before these psychopaths got their technology. So that's also very obvious to me. But also, just like you said, I have no idea what this intelligence is. The one thing that I feel very strongly is that an intelligence that would put together you know, all the creation of the plants and the animals and just miraculous things. It's amazing, you know, how everything worked together until the psychopaths, you know, started doing what they do. How could that energy, that consciousness, whatever you want to call it. Also say, okay, psychopaths, we're going to give you 6,000 years to do whatever you want to do. That doesn't make sense. Why would you create something so beautiful and then watch as it's destroyed? I don't get it.
Exactly, exactly. And Dr. Rebecca, we are joined now by William, and he would like to discuss a little bit about what we are talking about. So if it's okay with you, I'll let him pose his comments and questions.
Excellent. Welcome, right. William. Please continue.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rebecca. How
yes.
are you?
Living in hell. How are you?
I hope you're well. Well, first of all, to explain where I've got to today, I have to sort of like go through how I've discovered the way I've got to. So if I may, am I okay to tell this story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. A few years ago, ironically enough, it was on Christmas Day, I went out where I'd recently split up, and not having the kids on Christmas, it was bad. I hated Christmas, so not waking up and having the kids. So I was out, I went out down the town and I was having a few drinks. And at the end of the night, halfway through the night, I had a choice whether to get a taxi home or stay and spend the money what I had left and have a drink. So I decided, oh, I'll just stay. I've got nothing to go home for in the morning anyway. So I stopped back and at the end of the night, I had no money, so I decided I had to walk home. Well, to walk from where I was drinking back home, I had to go through, like, across the countryside. It was like an open space. Yeah. Well, I thought with it being Christmas, surely there'll be a car passes and somebody will pick us up. Anyway, I walked on a bit further. And I got a bit further and I realized that I was cold and I had hypothermia. And I realized I wasn't going to make it. So I got down on my knees in the middle of the road and I said a prayer. And I said that I didn't pray, I just spoke. I just said, I'm not going to make it home tonight, but I don't want my kids to wake up the next day and find out that Dad's died of cold. So I was there. I don't know how long it was, but then I saw these lights. And I thought, this is it, this is death, you go into the light. And I turned round and there was a taxi behind us. And the man got out. Now what's important about this story is that the man wasn't a Christian, he was a Muslim. And he got us and he put us in the car. He says, you're free. I says, I haven't got no money. He says, that doesn't matter, I'll take you home. He says, you shouldn't be out on. So he took us home and as we were chatting, I told him what I'd done. And he'd said that on his way home, he wasn't supposed to go that way, but he got this urge to turn into the road where I was to come and pick us up. Now, when I got home, I was wondering why would, if God's Christian, and I'm a Christian, why did a Muslim come? Why did he pick up? So that's when I began to think that there isn't a religion, it's just it's an energy, that he picked up my energy. At that time, he could have gone straight on, but somehow he picked up my energy, and that's how he come to see me. And then I started to research religion, and then I realized that religion is man-made. It isn't. All religions teach you that knowledge is bad, that you're not supposed to look into things, and that everything, and religion isn't the true faith. The true faith is, like, everybody put, it doesn't matter what religion it is, they always have this idea of a man who's a superhuman, who is the God, you know. But if you think the Bible says that God created the earth, then he created man. So if God created man, then he can't be man. He isn't man. He is. What they said, he said that all men were equal, created in his image. Well, I'm not the same. I don't look like Patty. Patty doesn't look like you, Rebecca. We're all different. So we can't. So, but deep within us, we all have a spirit. And the more I listen to Patty and listen to people come on the show, the more and more it backs up my theory that God or the Creator, whatever you want to call it, is energy that's made up of sound and light waves.
It's a vibration. I totally agree with everything that you're saying. And I've had similar situations actually myself where I was saved at the last minute. I'm not going to go into a lot of things, but that's how I know without question that, and I think of it in terms of frequencies, you know, love, the frequency of love, there is a vibration of love. And obviously, when you were, you know, asking for help in whatever way you want to call it, be it a prayer, an invocation, whatever, there was a person driving a cab who happens to be a Muslim, which obviously it made no difference, that also was at a spiritual frequency where he could actually connect with that vibration, and he decided to do something which, you know, would have made no sense to a person who's just working on, you know, basically just thought processes alone. Well, I'm not supposed to go this way. Why would I go this way? I'm going to use extra gas or whatever. But he listened to that inner guidance, and that's why he ended up on the road where you were, and he helped you even though you had no money. And that was a very important lesson to you because, as you said, he's a Muslim. So why would a Muslim help a Christian, especially for nothing? Because he had a conscience. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get through, is that, you know, this whole religion thing, to me, it's just caused more problems than we can possibly imagine. It's an excuse for the evil ones to get away with what they're doing. Oh, yes, we're supposed to forgive them and allow them to continue their atrocities and their crimes against humanity. It's causing so many problems. So I really do appreciate your contribution, and I totally agree with what you're saying.
Thanks. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to my story, and I hope that it inspires other people to discover the true meaning of the word God or Creator or whatever you want, and that it's not of a human thought. He is what he is. No person, just a spirit that it's within every one of us, and it's something that religion is trying to take away from us, the spiritual side of us, the true meaning of faith.
Well, I don't think it's in every one of us. The psychopaths who are destroying everything, it's not in them. And that's obvious, because if it was in them, how could they do what they're doing? What do you say about that idea?
Right. Everything on the planet has an opposite, emotions. Feeling love and feeling really depressed, feeling happy. I mean, not happy as in I'm smiling, I'm laughing. I mean happy. I mean when you feel that butterflies in your stomach, happy, and being depressed and feeling that's not in your stomach, it's the same sort of thing. So these people, to me and you, the psychopaths, what I think it is it's different people's interpretations of the feelings, what they get. Some people get a thrill out of hurting people, which I don't never understood, but everybody is different, even though within us we all the same. We just have our own thoughts and minds, and we have our free will, which
okay.
is... Okay,
so wait a minute. If we're all the same, how come some people get joy out of hurting and maiming and killing and destroying, and other people can't even conceive of doing that? How can we be the same?
Can I answer?
Please do.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think in the situation of what you're talking about, there's a story that is passed down that speaks of the red wolf and the white wolf. I think in the beginnings, we are all born innocent. to the point to where we have no experience of this life, and therefore we have no judgments, we have no inclinations toward anything other than our own sustenance and personal needs. As we grow up, we experience life in the areas in which we are familiar. So if a person is capable of doing harm in their own environment, they will find those instances that trigger that need in them. I've watched it happen in my own family, in the fact that both raised in the same environment, but the environment was both beautiful and deadly. You know, there were experiences on both sides of the boards. And my brother gravitated toward the more deadly, whereas I gravitated toward the more beautiful. And it's just in the choices that we made at that junction in our life. He took the negative experiences from his life, and he amplified those in his perspective and in his experience, and came out the other side with the idea that that was something that was good for him. It fed that part of him. And whereas I came out the other side. And I think that's all it is. We make a choice. That choice is always with us. And the psychopaths, I agree, they are beyond, you can't bring them back. Once you've gone that far, you have totally negated your ability to connect again. Unless, of course, maybe after 50, 60 years of study and stuff, we might figure out how to cure a psychopath. But I don't think we can cure them any more than we can a pedophile or anyone who would do genocide or murder to anyone without a conscience. But I do believe, Dr. Crawley, that there is, we do have that choice. And even the psychopath knows that he's doing wrong, because he does his best to hide it, to do it covertly, so that he can sit back and laugh with glee and enjoy. He stalks or whatever. They know within themselves that they're doing wrong, and that's the thrill for them. Beauty doesn't thrill them, only death and carnage does. You know, does that explain any?
Well, it makes total sense. And actually, I have a similar situation in my family. You know, I have a sister who is as dark as I am light. I mean, she couldn't tell the truth if her life depended on it. So I know exactly what you're saying, and yes, we had the same experiences, so, and the same parents. So yeah, that does make sense. And if only there was a cure for psychopathy. But I agree with you that once you've entered that mode where you get pleasure by hurting, you know, other life forms, there's no going back, unfortunately.
Exactly, William. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'll try to explain, like, psychopaths and things like that. It's the only way I can, well, not being the experience of being in the presence of a person like that, but I've heard that they don't express their feelings of life, of what I don't like to say the word normal, because I don't think there's such a thing as normal person. Everybody's different. There isn't a normality. It's whatever. Again, it all boils down to them feelings, the happiness, what makes you feel happy, you know, not the intense feeling of being happy. And apparently this is what makes the psychopath happy for some reason. I don't know why. That's what triggers there, you know, they don't realize that they're doing wrong, sort of thing, where people like us, we have an idea that we're doing wrong, you know. Some people lie left, right and center all the time without even having a conscience of doing it, where other people will say a lie and go, oh, you know, I'm worried about it, you know. And it's just, that's personal to you. how and you then, fail.
Yeah, and then there's people that are in the middle that will lie and also tell the truth, given their situation. You know, they feel comfortable stepping on either side. And then you have those that go to the extreme and only want to do the negative and the destructive. And then you have those others who go totally over and they want to do only the good and the passive, you know. And then I guess there's gray areas in between that too. So there's a broad spectrum of would you call them psychosis, Dr. Rebecca?
Yeah, well, you know, in my way of thinking, normal is doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, why would you want to hurt another living creature? That's my idea of normal. But I just want to bring up the spiritual aspect, as I said at the beginning of the show. I have seen a demon-infested person. I was married to this person. He wasn't like that. Something happened. I don't know what happened, but I do feel very strongly that the psychopaths that run the world, they have actually figured out ways to give negative spiritual influences, i.e. demonic influences, to people. And portals have to be opened for that to happen. Alcohol is one of those portals. Why do you think they call it spirits? Psychiatric drugs. There are different portals that can be opened to allow demonic influences in. And once those demonic influences take over, you know, then like you said, Patty, based on the influences in your life, so something bad could happen to you, and you could either decide, like we have done, that I'm going to do everything I can to stop that from happening to others, or you could say, you know what, I'm going to do that to others. I'm going to become a pedophile. I'm going to become a psychopath. I'm going to intentionally harm others because that's how I get my kicks. I think that's some kind of a spiritual thing that's happened to that person, just like there's a spiritual thing that happens to the people who do unto others as they would have them do unto them.
I agree. And like you, I also agree that if there were one axiom that we could all work under, that we could cure 99% of what ails the world, and that would be do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the only law that we need. You know, all others fall under that.
There is a saying which I got from like Peter Wigger's sort of faith, and they say, do as you will, but don't harm anyone. So in a way, that's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Do what you want. As long as it doesn't harm anybody else, you're a free spirit. You're free, you know. It's only man that puts all the blocks on your life, who say that you can't leave the country unless you have a passport. Why? The world's for everybody, you know. My ancestors probably weren't from England originally. They've been from North, from Scandinavia and all that, so they've stopped us from travelling and they've stopped us from communicating. And when people, especially religion, the first thing religion did was, when they found a new country, was they would convert them to their religion instead of listening to the ways of the other people. Then they would have realised and put it all together that, you know, there is one thing that binds everybody. All cultures is this spiritual higher being, or whatever you want to call it. Everybody has that in common. Doesn't matter whereabouts in the world you go to. But what we've got is we've got man-made religions. Like, I was brought up a Roman Catholic, which is ironic, as the Roman Catholic Church is just the Roman Empire, just rebranded in a church form to make it sound. You say Hail Mary, Hail Caesar. So the Catholic Church is just the Roman Empire, and it is now wanting to take over the world again, and it's on a collision course with the Islam. And that is why we are having the wars in the Middle East. It's a religious war. It's another crusade. And it all goes back to Rome. It's a very evil MA organization, the Catholic Church, but that, I can go into that, you know.
Well, like Dr. Carley says, though, you know, religion teaches war. It teaches judgment. It teaches apocalypse. It teaches all of these things that any person reading the Bible can interpret to mean whatever they want, can form a religion around it. And that's the thing that is suspect with me. To me, to have to rely on any religion as your base of understanding who and what you are and where you come from is the fallacy in the equation, because you cannot take another person's words or stories. Everything you have to understand who and where you came from is inside you at all times. It's there that the truth first lets you know. It's there. It speaks to you in your heart and in your mind. It automatically clicks. And if you cannot see the truth that another does, it doesn't mean that yours is more valid than theirs or not. But then if you wanted to expound on it, you could ask them questions about their belief. They can ask you questions. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find a truth. We're all connected in that way. We don't need religion. Religion is the catalyst that puts the wedge throughout each and every culture on this earth. It's the reason why we can never get past our noses, because we can't accept that other people believe differently, you know, and that they might have just as much right to believe as we do. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on the soapbox. And I'm done.
No, I agree with you. I just want to say that word belief has the lie in the middle of it. So,
yeah, I know.
That's why I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check things out for yourself. But there are so many people that have been hoodwinked. And religion is one of the main entities that are causing this problem. What William had mentioned in terms of, you know, the Christians versus the Muslims, it's very obvious to anybody that knows what's going on, is that one of the main problems, the reason the Muslims are being attacked, the reason the CIA manifested Arab Spring has happened, et cetera, is that the Muslims know about usury. Usury is the main thing that's destroying the financial aspect of the entire world at this point. And they have to take down those Muslim leaders who are against usury in order to bring about these world banks and all of their debt creation, which is a primary way that's being used to control the leaders of different, you know, governments. And so that's really, in my opinion, what's behind this whole Muslim versus Christian thing, because the Christian, you know, religion has been totally corrupted. That's so obvious to me. And I want to mention something that helps to prove that in one second. But first, I just want to say, William had mentioned, do what thou wilt, as long as it doesn't hurt another person. Well, you have to be careful with that, because do what thou wilt is the mantra of the Satanists. Do what thou wilt. In other words, do whatever you want. There's no second part, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt each other, because they don't care if it hurts somebody else, because they don't have a conscience. So I just want to mention that, and I'm so glad that you brought up what you did, Patty, in regards to, because that's actually helped to open up my eyes, that there's something that happens. There's something that happens because, as you said, somebody can come from the same bloodline, of the same experience, in a family, whatever, and go totally separate ways. So I think that there is some kind of a frequency that comes into it all, either the frequency of wanting to do good or some kind of a demonic spiritual influence that enters. How can you harm others and get satisfaction out of it unless there's some negative demonic type influence that occurs?
Yes, I do agree.
I agree there. When you mention about two people going separate ways, I always say that, imagine there's a mother in Africa and she has two children and she has to give them away to adoption. So one Muslim Islamic family fundamentalist takes one child, one son, and a Christian fundamentalist takes the other son, and they go away and they never meet for 30 years, but then they're fundamentalists. So when they meet each other, they're totally different. And he doesn't like him because of his religion, and the other one doesn't like him because of their religion. Is that because of God, or is that because of religion educating them into what they believe?
Exactly.
Well, that's because of mind control, and that's what this whole religion thing is. I thought you were going to say, and then they meet on a battlefield someplace, and one of them kills the other.
They probably will.
Right.
Probably,
but the point is, is that no matter which parents they're adopted into, they could, you know, listen to all the dribble that they're being fed, the mind control, and they could say to themselves, you know, this is a bunch of crap. And, you know, I'm forced as a child to sit here and listen to it, but I'm asking hard questions in my mind, and once I become of age and I can escape from these idiots who are just, you know, repeating what they've been taught all their lives, then I will do my thing. So that's my take on that. But I just want to mention one other really important email that I received, and this was something published on the Mercola.com website on December 6, 2011, just to show you how the churches have been corrupted. And the title of the email is, "If You Go to Church, Heed This Warning." Recently, the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships held an invitation-only call. The call was co-sponsored by the U.S. Health and Human Services, the Office of Minority Health, and CDC. Conspicuously, the end of the invitation read, "The call is off the record and is not for press purpose," but it became public when it showed up on the HHS website. Fortunately, one of Mercola's staff was able to get on the call. The focus of the call was on getting faith-based organizations to sponsor flu clinics with Walgreens. Basically, they want to move inside your church, mosque, or synagogue and set up shop with your pastor, priest, imam, and rabbi on hand to convince you to get a flu shot. As an example, they cited a priest who stopped in the middle of Mass to roll up his sleeve and get vaccinated, inspiring the rest of his parish to line up behind him. The idea of holding out your arm and getting a shot in the middle of a worship service with your pastoral leader urging you on seems to be pushing it. The reason they're doing this, health officials said on the phone, is that they found that non-traditional settings such as worship services can be highly effective in influencing people's decisions. Speaking directly to church leaders, Joshua DuBois, executive director of the White House Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnership, said, "As trusted messengers, you're able to spread messages and help get people vaccinated. Zeroing in on minorities, particularly older adults, blacks and Latinos, health officials said churches, mosques, and schools are places where barriers to vaccination can be taken down, and these minorities can be convinced to get vaccinated. Besides hosting flu shot clinics, churches can also help by putting reminders in their bulletins and by church members personally reminding others to get their shots. They even went so far as to encourage the churches to pay people's insurance co-pays so they'd be more inclined to get the shots. For those who simply can't pay anything, there will be 300,000 free shots given out as part of the vaccine crusade." Very interesting term there, vaccine crusade. And I don't have time to read it all, but he goes on to talk about who's funding this, basically the government. And the important, you know, take-home point of this is that this gets the various religious communities to participate in genocide. Not only genocide, but many of these vaccines are also cultured on aborted fetuses. So, you know, you can't separate the culture medium from the virus, and having a dead baby injected into you is cannibalism. So this just goes to show how corrupt all of these religious entities are. And, of course, they're probably getting some kind of a benefit. You know, perhaps they're getting some funds themselves from the government to do this. And basically they're going along with the program, and this is pure evil.
The Lord is my shepherd, and I am a sheep. I've the follower, follow the shepherd. Does it not seem strange that the people who believe that God saves everybody, that they need a vaccine against the flu? That's true faith in God, isn't it?
Well, mind control is mind control, and as I try to teach people, you know, our bodies are designed, as is nature, to work in harmony, to, you know, heal itself, to take care of whatever natural comes along. In fact, if people, you know, come down with a viral infection, that's their body's opportunity to flex its immune muscles and learn how to have a functioning immune system. So this idea of scaring people that these different viruses are going to be a big problem, and especially when you know what I know, that they're bioengineering viruses, they're creating monsters that actually have a much better ability to, you know, affect the body and to cause disease and to actually kill people, especially the elderly, which they're killing that group because they want to get them off the dole. But the idea that the churches are participating in this is just so evil, it's beyond comprehension. And, in fact, I live in the Bible Belt here in North Carolina, and there's ads in the paper all the time where churches are actually holding vaccine clinics in the churches. So, you know, that's pretty obvious to me.
Indeed it is. And it's they have the Walgreens here that have get your flu shot today, in-store flu shots and stuff like, have you gotten your flu shot today? And then they do the guilt things with the have the commercial with the woman and her husband and not getting their flu shot, and then them going in and picking up their baby out of the crib. You know, if you don't get your flu shot, what happens to your baby? You know, sort of thing. I think it is, you know, it's so odd that they would be so willing to put up all that propaganda without any proof whatsoever, yet they won't take the proof that is out there to prove that vaccines are in fact dangerous and are also non-effective in any way to promoting immune response to any virus.
Exactly. And actually, it's very funny, over the past week, there were, you know, snippets done on the mainstream media because of the fact that there have been measles and whooping cough outbreaks in various communities. And as it turned out and was actually reported, which I'm, you know, actually amazed whenever they tell the truth at all, that the majority of the young people that came down with whooping cough or measles were actually vaccinated.
Yes, now, I saw that same article. Yep.
Yeah, they had to come up with plausible deniability for that. So rather than admit that they're being injected with live viruses that are actually causing the outbreaks, they came up with this story, which is hilarious, that the problem is that 75% of doctors are not properly storing their vaccines. They're either having them in refrigerators that are too cold or too hot, or, you know, actually expired, and so therefore the vaccines aren't properly protecting the children. And it just amazes me, if any parents continue to go through this, first of all, let's pretend that that's true, that the vaccines aren't effective because of that reason. Why would you go to pediatricians that don't even know how to read the label to tell them how to store the vaccines properly? So even if that was the case, that that was the reason that this outbreak occurred, because the children weren't protected, you know, why are you bringing your children to these brain-dead pediatricians? But in fact, it's obvious to me that this is their plausible deniability thing, that they have to blame it on that because they don't want people to actually use their heads and say, wait a minute, the vaccinated children are the ones getting the disease. Could that be because they're being injected with live viruses? Simple.
Well, not only that, yeah, not only that too, but if you have a, if you have viruses that, or vaccination serum that is so touchy, that is so fragile, then why have it at all? Because it can be deadly either way, you know? If you have to keep it under strict guidelines and you don't regulate how it's kept, or anything, then how can you ensure that any shot is going to be effective? Therefore, they're all worthless, you know, as far as medical benefit.
Right. So that's where I think this disinfo is going to backfire on them. And actually, there's more and more doctors, naturopaths, nurses, there's all kinds of people coming out and speaking about vaccines being a very bad idea. There's nobody else I know of except for Nancy Banks, who talks about them as weapons of genocide. But people are starting to actually question these practices. So isn't it amazing that they would bring it into the church? Because the church is where, you know, it's a spiritual thing, guys. If your pastor, priest, imam, or rabbi, whatever, rolls up his sleeve during the services and says, today we're going to do a little sidebar. We're not going to talk about God. We're going to talk about vaccines. So watch me get injected with normal saline, because if they're in the know, they'd never allow a vaccine to be put in their bodies. And then all of you line up, and this will be our offering to whatever, you know, beast. You know, it's just amazing. But I'm sure lots of people are going to fall for this crap.
They already have.
But fortunately, the amount of vaccines they still got left, I think a few people have sort of got round to the idea and they're not taking them. So now they're desperate for people to take these, and they haven't got no willing victims now. So now, like you said, they turn into the church because everybody believes the church. And that's in a roundabout way gets you back to the start and where I said religion is man-made and it's there to get man to get other men to do what they want.
Right. And I certainly hope, William, that you've spoken to the mother of your children and that she's not allowing your children to get vaccinated anymore. And no matter what you disagree on, you know, parents have a duty, in my opinion, to investigate these things for themselves. And one place to start for anybody listening is just go to the physician's desk reference, you'll find every vaccine, including the Gardasil vaccine, which is supposed to protect against the HPV virus that causes cervical cancer and warts, etc., which I'm sure was made in a laboratory funded by the Special Virus Cancer Program in the first place. No vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer, and that is because they know they cause cancer. So people have to start using common sense and check things out for yourself, and I would encourage any parishioners of any religion that goes to any religious service and their leader stands up and promotes vaccines, that they stand up and start asking some hard questions, because this is basically a situation where immense damage can be done, and it has to stop. So I want to thank you, Patty, for contributing on the show, and also you, William, for calling in. And we're out of time, as it turns out. And, you know, as I said, folks, I don't have all the answers. I'm looking for the answers, especially in this whole, in relation to this whole God thing. So anything you want to share with me, please feel free to do so. Help me understand why pure evil is allowed to control the earth at this point. And even better, what are we going to do about it? Because we're not getting divine help. Okay, thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.